out there, Jim, but I think it's getting better. We're ready for the launch vehicle systems debriefing whenever you are. Roger, Jim. We're ready for the launch vehicle systems debriefing whenever you are. Over.
Okay, stand by one. Okay, Houston 13, in answer to question one, changes in noise level occurred mainly between the first stage and the other stages. The other stages were about the same in noise level, very quiet. But the first stage, of course, made quite a bit of noise in the beginning, but and which built up during high Q, and then went quiet just after high Q.
Okay, copy that, Jim.
I might mention that the noise level during the first stage was not sufficient to be uncomfortable at all.
Roger, and I assume comm was okay.
That's correct. Comm was very good all during throughout the entire flight. Much better than I expected.
Okay.
Now, in answer to question two, there was, of course, a vibration transient in the second stage that, due to the number 5 engine going up, which occurred shortly before the engine went out, and slightly after that, then the S2 stage was very smooth.
Okay, Jim, I guess the significant point there is that you did notice the vibration before you saw the engine light.
That's right. We noticed the vibration, but it wasn't such that we thought something catastrophic was going to happen. It just started a vibration, and then the light came on, and then the vibration went away, and the stage itself is just moving.
Okay, copy that.
Yeah, and it was all pretty short span, just a second or so before and like a second afterwards, Joe.
Roger.
And on the S4B, the vibration of the vehicle itself was about the same throughout its powered flight, a very high frequency vibration.
That was that during just during TLI, or did you notice that at insertion?
Well, it was a high frequency vibration, but was more noticeable during the TLI burn than it was during the boost phase flight.
Okay, I understand.
I guess the S4B vibration during TLI was there all the time, although it seemed to grow to us as the burn progressed, although that may have been just due to the weight decrease.
Okay, you call us about 3.5 minutes, but I guess the thing was slowly building up throughout the whole burn, right?
That's right.
Okay, was it uncomfortable, or did it cause your vision to degrade or anything like that?
No, it was not uncomfortable at all, but I was recalling the ride on 8, and the S4B was much more smooth on 8 than it was on 13.
Copy that.
Okay, now in answer number three, we did not experience any unexpected transients, except that all of us noticed the PU shift. We thought it was more pronounced than we had expected to be.
Okay, understand.
Joe, on that, I guess most of every time a PU shift occurred, we all, most all of us glanced at the engine light. We could feel definite acceleration change.
Mirage, understand, Jack.
And during the high Q portion of the flight, the alpha meter, to my knowledge, never got above 25%.
Okay.
In answer to number four, we got a pretty good look at the thermal shroud on the IU after taking the limb away, and from our viewpoint, the shroud was completely intact. We saw no loose particles or parts of it floating at all.
Okay, Jim, understand.
And I guess the answer to number five, any time do we have any communication problem during power flight?
Roger.
And answer number six, the answer is essentially no, we saw no any nor suspicious leak on the lamp or the ASM.
Okay, Jim. I guess you described to us the non-propulsive venting on the S4B after the APS maneuver, and we copied that at the time.
Okay, Fred saw the S4B venting.
Yeah, we had already talked about that, Joe, and that was also visible when it, of course, when it did its evasive maneuver when we were looking at it right close up.
Roger.
Okay, Joe, the last time we saw the S4B positively was when Fred saw it venting about, I guess, about 5 hours. We think we might have picked it up later on. We saw a particle or something out there that was tumbling, which might have been the booster on the flaw panel.
Yeah, and when was that, Jim?
Say 7:30 and 9 hours.
Okay.
But Joe, assuming the S4B is still stable, the object I was looking at was definitely tumbling.
Okay, Fred. As I recall, it was stable then, although it's tumbling now.
Okay. It probably with the slop panel I picked up.
Right. Incidentally, I guess the guys in
Boeing 60.
Go ahead, Jim.
I think we entered number nine. We at around 5:32, I think, is when we think the number five light came on the S2 at a definite vibration, which is more than just the high frequency vibration we got with the normal S4 burn. And then the light came on, I called Inco, thinking from the training that it was 7:42 and looked up at the time and realized it was early. And then soon after the light came on, the vibration stopped and the engine, or the booster smoothed down. It was very smooth from there on.
Okay, this may be a stupid question, but do you have any idea what the frequency of it was?
Only to say that it was much higher. I could pretty guess now. It's a rather a rapid longitudinal vibration.
Okay, Jim, stand by now. So when you get all done, I'll make a quick check to see if the booster people have any additional questions. You skipped number 8, Jim. Could you go back to that for a second?
Okay, goodbye. Comment there, Joe, was that the burn on TLI, to our knowledge, was about 3.75 seconds longer than had been predicted, and that was the only thing that we really noticed. Otherwise, looked like VI was nominal and cut off.
Okay, understand.
Okay, I'm comparing the flight of 13 with Apollo 8. Liftoff was about the same amount of vibration as I noticed on 8, but at the beginning of the flight, there was less of a sidewise motion than we experienced on Apollo 8. The S1C separation felt more violent on 13 than did 8. Maybe that's because I was in a different seat, I don't know. But there's about three sharp transients of the cutoff and a couple of big bangs where we were thrown backwards or longitudinally on our straps before the S2 lit off. And the S2 was, of course, just as smooth on 13 as 8 except for the number 5 engine. And we did not experience the vibration that we experienced on 8 towards the end of the S2 burn. And the S4B had more vibration than we had on 8.
Okay, Jim, got all that.
The update on the ordeal ball was a good one. At the burn, we were about... just about 8 degrees. We had the pitch down. The yaw was right on all the way through the entire burn, and just towards the end of the burn, the ball started going into the black and pitch a little bit.
Okay, sounds good. We'll give Mike Wash a gold star on that one. Okay, Jim, stand by one while I see if we have any extra questions. Jim, while we're waiting to see if they have any more questions, I'd like to read you the Booster People's preliminary analysis on the S2 cutoff. Over.
That'd be very interesting. Go ahead.
Okay. Preliminary analysis of the data indicates that the center S2 engine vibrated at a somewhat higher amplitude than we've seen on previous flights, and it started at about 160 seconds into the S2 burn. As a result of these vibrations, the engine chamber pressure decreased to the level where the two low-level thrust sensors, the thrust OK sensors, initiated center engine cutoff. Early evaluation of data indicates that no damage occurred to the engine, and the cause of the increased vibration amplitude is still under investigation. Over.
Well, I'm glad it was the center engine.
Yeah, right.
Joe, do you have any word on what march we had for TLI?
At the time of TLI, as I recall, you had 6 seconds longer than the nominal burn, which was 3 seconds longer than the three sigma low burn, and you were also go for a second opportunity TLI if we'd required one.
Okay, we were just wondering because it appeared to us that we had a longer TLI burn than had been predicted.
Yes, you did. We confirmed that cutoff time just about as you saw it, and I don't have an explanation for it, but it was within the three sigma margins. Houston.
Go ahead.
Roger, we have no further questions. All the answers were clear and satisfactory, and we thank you very much. You can press on with the rest of your busy day.
Righto.
This is Apollo Control. The launch vehicle systems debriefing has just concluded. No further questions from the booster controllers pass through spacecraft communicator Joe Kerwin. Apollo 13 now 106,747 nautical miles out from Earth. Velocity continuing to slow down, now 5,179 feet per second. Spacecraft will reach the midpoint in distance, where it's equally far from the Earth to the spacecraft or from the spacecraft to the Moon, at ground elapsed time of 27 hours, 20 minutes, 49 seconds. At that time, it will be 112,070 nautical miles both ways, to the Earth and to the Moon. Continuing to stand by on the air-to-ground circuit for further conversation.